The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With the all-new Nissan Juke. The coupe crossover by Nissan. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
The expectation within the next hour that the National Immunisation Advisory Committee are going to recommend that AstraZeneca, the AstraZeneca vaccine, is only offered to people over the age of 60. This after the EMA, the European Medicines Agency, last week acknowledged there are increased risk of blood clots. Very small risk, but an increased risk nonetheless. Germany, the Netherlands, Portugal, Spain, France, Belgium, Canada, Australia, they've all put in age-based restrictions. Our nearest neighbours, the UK, have gone a different route. They have just said that everybody over 30 continues to get it. Anybody under 30 can get it, but they have to be offered an alternative, which I suppose leaves us with a slightly incongruous situation here where, like I said earlier, the 40-year-old in Enniskillen gets AstraZeneca, no questions asked. The 40-year-old in Emmyvale will not be offered it. So the big question a lot of people have today, what impact on the rollout? And what about people who've got one jab of AstraZeneca and are waiting on a second? Well, Anthony Staines is the Professor of Health Systems in Dublin City University. Anthony, what is your expectation in terms of the impact on the rollout?
I think it will make it a little more complicated because they have to work out the logistics of getting the AstraZeneca to older people. But they're planning about 800,000 AstraZeneca doses out of just under 4 million between now and the end of June. So it's not in any sense the end of the world. Looking at the figures, there's about 105,000 people in the oldest age cohort waiting to be vaccinated. That's the cohort of people aged 70 and over, about 140,000, in fact. So most of the AstraZeneca could easily be used on that group. And that isn't including the over 60s.
Okay, so they need two jabs each. So yeah. That 140, that's 280,000 so far gone.
And then there's all the 60 to 70-year-olds. So there's enough people to use the AstraZeneca comfortably.
Okay.
Because I suppose getting it to them is trickier.
The risk might be that, the risk would have been that there wouldn't have been enough people left in that category. We'd have an excess of that vaccine, which of course then automatically slows down the rollout elsewhere because you've got to use Pfizer and Moderna there. What you're saying is, no, there's probably enough that if you just reorganise who's getting it.
And where it's being given.
Okay.
It's not quite straightforward, but it's certainly doable.
Explain what you mean where it is being given.
They're going to have to figure out how to get the AstraZeneca to the same place as the older people at the right time. At the moment, they're sending single batches of a particular vaccine to a particular clinic, and it doesn't matter who turns up. If you turn up today and it's AstraZeneca there today, that's what you get. And if you turn up tomorrow and it's Pfizer there tomorrow, you get Pfizer. But now, because different groups will be getting different vaccines, it's a little more complicated to organise. But nothing undoable, nothing impossible.
Okay, sorry. So I'm thinking this out loud. I mean, a GP practice or somewhere else, they're getting a batch of vaccines tomorrow, and at the moment they'll be contacting a mixture of people. You'll have people in cohort 4, so people under the age of 60 with underlying conditions, but also people over the age of 60. It didn't matter what vaccine was there. As of tomorrow, it probably does matter. So you've just got to organise that a bit better.
Yeah. And cohort 4, I mean, their figure for cohort 4 is there's 70,000 people in it, of whom just under 70 have been had their first dose. I'm looking at their figures from this morning. It's not, you know, whether their measurement score is correct or not,
yeah,
is 100% clear. But clearly a large proportion of that cohort have been done.
Okay, so look, a couple of questions, like I said, people would have had. What impact on the rollout? You're saying, look, maybe not a massive impact. There'll be some organisational headaches, but nothing we can't get over. The other question people will have, people listening to this show, people who are under the age of 30, and actually people over the age of 60 as well, judging by the text coming in on 53106, that have had one dose of AstraZeneca, and now they're unsure about getting a second dose. Well, if they're under 30, they don't know if they'll be offered one. If they're over 60, they don't know if they want one.
I would say to get it. I mean, I'm in cohort 4, I've had the first dose of AstraZeneca, and I am absolutely going to have my second dose of AstraZeneca, I think, in the middle of June. And I will have it without a qualm. the risk here is to an individual is really, really small. Vaccine safety is important, and there's a lot of information now about how this complication manifests and what to do about it if it happens. There's a lot of information about identifying it, arranging prompt treatment, and delivering effective treatment. So if it does happen, it should be manageable. But the risk to a person of getting it is very low. And the risk of getting COVID, particularly the number of cases we're having at the moment, is really quite high.
Yeah, there'll be no shortage of amateur experts, you know, offering their opinion on whether this was the right call by NIAC, Anthony. But what's your view? Have they done the right thing here?
It's a difficult one. NIAC are experts at this, and they've, I'm sure, had a lengthy and detailed discussion. And they've come down on one reasonable choice, which is the one they've made. I don't think what the British are doing is unreasonable. And I think we could have gone for that choice.
Okay.
But you know, we have to choose. And they are the people whose job is to make that choice and whose expertise is making that choice. And I think it's as well to go along with it.
All right. Listen, Anthony Staines, a professor of health systems in Dublin City University. Anthony, thanks a million for joining us. Alan Kelly is the leader of the Labour Party. He's on the line as well. Alan, an unwelcome headache for government today.
Yeah, this is quite unwelcome. I know many in the HSE were absolutely dreading this. So it really complicates things. And, you know, it poses a whole range of questions. I presume, considering that the government and Stephen Donnelly had a week or so to prepare for all eventualities, that they have looked at contingency plans here. There's a lot of logistics and planning here that needs to change pretty quickly. I want an assurance from them, from the government, that we can still get to four of five people being inoculated by June. If you look at the figures, there was we know the amount of AstraZeneca that was to be given out by the end of June. Obviously, there's going to have to be a switch now to provide that for just exclusively 60s to 70-year-olds. But it does raise a whole range of other issues, and primarily one on the island of Ireland. As you said earlier, you could have somebody from Norway who's 31 and someone from Dundalk who's 59 and they can't get the same vaccine. It also raises issue in relation to the EMA. As a regulator, and this is a serious question, they're a European regulator, but they seem to have been undercut by numerous country regulators, and that's fine. I respect NIAC and the advice. But, I mean, health isn't a competency in Europe at your EU level. So, really, the role of the EMA, you'd have to wonder, at one point we're following the advice, at another point we're not following the advice. So, you know, it asks rather large questions there. But my real issue here is looking at the figures for what was meant to be rolled out over the next 3 months and, you know, one in every 20 vaccines with AstraZeneca. How quickly now can we turn the ship around to ensure that these vaccines go to the 60 to 70-year-olds and also then reorientated so that everyone else is vaccinated in accordance with the 405 that has been promised?
Yeah.
And that's outside of the fact that we need answers on for questions, because my phone had been hopping about people who've got their first vaccine, will they take their second one? And the second issue then is you're going to have, unfortunately, as you say, social media will take over and you'll have vaccine hesitancy now from the 60 to 70-year-olds in relation to AstraZeneca. Now, I'm no medical expert and I wouldn't dare comment on it, but surely everyone possible should take the jab that's offered.
I think so. And the texts are coming in. I don't want the second dose of AstraZeneca, says someone. I have my first shot. Where can I go for my second shot of something else? No one wants to be the one who gets clots. Another one says, am I the only one in the over 60s group that is now nervous about AstraZeneca? I was one of the greatest advocates of vaccines up to this. The 1 in 150,000 argument is not good enough for me. I'm prepared to pay for one of the others and I'll wait for it. On the other hand, Dave says, can I not sign a disclaimer and take the AstraZeneca vaccine tomorrow that everyone else doesn't want? The risk is so, so low. I'm 38 and more than willing to take it. What people need, do they, Alan, tonight, is a concrete plan. As you said, the minister might have known this was coming, given other countries went down this route. There's an awful lot of confusion. You see it here in the text line in front of me and I read those out. People want to know what's happening.
My phone is a microcosm of what you've just read out there from people all over the country who have been in touch with me and with my colleagues over the last few hours since this has come out. Now, it hasn't been confirmed yet, but we presume it's happening. So what we need this evening is the following. We need a Minister for Health to go on national television and tell us that the plan is still to inoculate 4 out of 5. We are reorientating the plan. They have been planning for this all week in the eventuality that this is going to happen. They have planned logistics and they're going to change it around to ensure that it happens. Also to advise whether people should be taking the second AstraZeneca vaccine if they're under 60 or not, and what the plan is there. And thirdly, then to assure everybody over 60 that this is, basically they're doing it with an abundance of caution and it's safe for everyone over 60 to 70 to take this vaccine. That's what should be happening, and it should be happening literally, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock tonight, so that we can be clear for everyone. Otherwise, the vacuum will cause problems because more issues will arise, more innuendo will come out, and social media will take over. So the government need to take control of this. This is a critical point. So much is dependent on this, not just as regards people's lives, but also as regards the summer. The hospitality industry, jobs, employers, everything all hangs on what they do in the next few hours. So I hope they've prepared for it. It's a massive test for them.
Yeah, it certainly is. Just to go back briefly, Alan, to you mentioned the EMA. And I suppose when people were questioning the Department of Health, the Minister for Health, the government, the HSE, about what vaccines might be available here and the licensing of vaccines, the line we kept being told was, look, we're following the EMA. We're following the EMA's lead in all of this. This is being approached on a pan-European basis. That seems to have gone out the window.
It's completely contradictory. I mean, there's no other way of saying anything else. At some point into the future, when this is all over, when we have more time, we'll have to analyse this and the roles of the EMA versus national regulators. But certainly when it came to one point in time, the EMA was what was to follow. But now it's NIAC and our national regulator. It seems to be, the lowest common denominator, the abundance of caution, whichever one is lowest from whichever regulator. But there's an issue here at European level. Consistency since the beginning of this outbreak, since the beginning of COVID, Europe is not competent when it comes to health issues. It doesn't have the processes in place. It's overburdensome with bureaucracy. But certainly when it comes to regulation now, you'd have to question what is the role of the EMA vis-a-vis the national regulators, because it's contradictory what has happened over the last number of months.
Alan Kelly, Labour Party leader. Alan, thanks a million for joining us.